And we wrap it up here tonight with a big one here. First, a word for Advantage BMW. Now, my friends at Advantage BMW in Midtown, well, I've leased, I've owned from them. Advantage BMW in Midtown is a great place to go in and get that BMW you've always wanted. I love the drive of a BMW. After all, it's an ultimate driving machine. I got a 5 Series. I love it. But the thing that I really love down there at Advantage BMW Midtown is the customer service. Advantage BMW Midtown has you covered with sales, service, and finance. It can be done so easy. Get that hometown advantage at Advantage BMW Midtown. Get in there. Say hello to Philip, Justin, Sergio. They love soccer. They love football. AdvantageBMWHouston.com. And also, place to be, and we're going to be there this Saturday, is in Edo. It's the King's Court, 903 Hutchins, in the shadows of BBVA Compass Stadium. King's Court has 13 monitors for all your soccer-watching desires. Covers all the leagues from around the world. We're going to be down there selling Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5 T-shirts. All the supporters groups will be there, the Bayou City Blues, Houston Red Army. So we're looking forward to getting down to the King's Court this weekend, moving a few of those T-shirts that you can proudly wear, supporting your sport, the game that you love. Plus, there is a charitable aspect to it. King's Court, rooftop deck is spectacular. Great view of the stadium. British and Indian pub-style cuisine is a winner down there. You're going to see me having some curry or chicken dishes there. Get in there, say hello to Jay and Megan, kingscourthouston.com. Caught up earlier in the week with former Houston Dynamo Ricardo Clark. We also know that Ricardo played in the World Cup for the United States, re-signed with the Columbus Crew. Here's my interview with Ricardo Clark. Well, Ricardo, you know, I'm driving to the press conference at Energy Stadium about World Cup 2026 in Houston, Texas. I come up to a light, and who do I see? Ricardo Clark on the corner. Welcome back to Houston, even though it's only for a short amount of time. Great to see you. Let's start off with this. Save the Crew, the fan base, inspirational. How difficult was it for you as players to go through all that uncertainty around the Crew?
To be honest, I wouldn't say it was difficult. It was a super interesting situation, especially for me personally, being new to the whole environment and obviously to the club and all that, and just knowing that so much was up in the air at the end of the year. You know, we had obviously the potential club movement to Austin. We had, you know, the potential move by the coach to the national team. So it was an interesting season. But you know, ever since I was there, I enjoyed every moment of it. You know, the whole situation with the club potentially moving actually brought more attention and more of the fan base together. And it was really cool to see the city get behind and rally behind the club in keeping the team there. It was really inspirational because the club has done so much and done so well. And just to know that so much of the fan base actually cares was super cool. And their efforts really helped. And it was a really cool experience just to interact with the fans and the community in that way.
So how did you guys keep it together? Obviously, Greg Berhalter has to be a good leader, because when you have all these things swirling around a team, it's easy for people to get distracted, think about their own futures. How is it kept together? How much of it was from the players? Yeah. How much was it from the manager? And then obviously the fan base was galvanizing you as well.
To be fair, Greg did a really good job of just keeping everything professional. He would give us updates occasionally on the status of things going on. And to be honest, for much of the year, for at least 3/4 of the year, you know, we had no clue what was going on. I mean, his updates were basically, you know, we're basically in the same situation. We don't know what's happening, but we're just going to keep it business as usual. And he did a good job of kind of instilling that mentality into the group and just keeping everybody focused and on board and kind of blocking out the noise of what's going to happen at the end of the season. So, you know, Greg's good at keeping the group together like that and that was our mentality. We just controlled what we could control and left everything else by the wayside. And you know, I think, you know, majority of the players wanted the team to be there. But, you know, we could only do so much in our control. So that was, like I said, that was our mentality. That's how we kept it throughout most of the year. And at the end of the day, it worked out.
Well, at the end of the day also, it's a situation you've been through before, right, with San Jose coming to Houston back in those days. You guys didn't really know what you were going to encounter down here, and then the rest is history. So it's pretty interesting, some of the hurdles and the things you've had with teams in your history. In my case, in the 80s, it was teams folding and just basically going away because nobody could afford to keep them afloat. Back to Greg Berhalter. What is the U.S. national team getting with him? And take me into his mentality and my listeners into his mentality a little bit. And tactician, what type of manager he is?
Yeah, that's a good question. So, yeah, first of all, I knew Greg, obviously, you know, in the soccer world, it's a small soccer community. And I think I first made personal contact with him a long time ago when I was playing in Europe. And he was coaching with Hammarby, and he was trying to recruit me to come and play there. Eventually, you know, things didn't work out, but we kept in touch. And he you know, reached out to me in this past offseason when I was a free agent. We've made something happen with the contract, and I joined the team. But so that this was my first time actually being a player under him, even though I'd known him for a couple years. And it was an awesome experience being with him, you know, being with the Dynamo for so long, and you know, being around a certain type of culture and a certain type of play and a group of people. It was a blessing to get outside that comfort zone and just experience something different and get a different perspective on things. Greg is a very detailed individual, especially when it comes to his job. He's an extremely hard worker. He would show up for work. He would be the first person in the locker room, first person in the office. He would show up there about 6:30 in the morning, and would be the last person to leave. I don't know, six in the afternoon, maybe later. So you know, he put the work in, and it showed. It showed through the organization, how everything was run, which was super on point. It showed through the results of the team. He was very consistent with success with the team ever since he'd been there. I think they made the playoffs maybe every year he'd been there except for one. And, you know, it showed in what he got out of his players. You know, he had a playing style that we stuck to and was successful. And he brought players in, young players, older players, and introduced them to his system and was successful in making those players reach their potentials within those systems. I can say at 35 years old, I was actually able to learn a lot and, in my opinion, become a better player and more aware player because I was a player under him. So, like I said, at the end of the day, it was a blessing going to Columbus and just being able to experience playing under a good coach like that.
Columbus Crew midfielder Ricardo Clark joining us here on ESPN 97.5, also played in the World Cup for the United States and, of course, a big part of Houston soccer history down here with the Houston Dynamo. That's interesting you say that your career can stretch as an older player. Is that something you didn't think was possible? Because I've had Michael Parkhurst on this show, and he said the same thing about Tata Martino and his ability to stretch him as a defender now at an older age. And a lot of that was based on their playing style as well and the fact that he had to do some things differently with a very aggressive Atlanta United.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, to be honest, you know, at 35 years old, you know, my body up to this point, knock on wood, still feels very good. And I feel like I don't have to compensate too much in regards to my movements, in regards to my athletic ability on the field. You know, that may change in a couple of years. Who knows? But I do know that, you know, being under Greg, I did become a lot more aware on the field in regards to my positioning, in regards to, you know, tactics. You know, we thrive on tactics, and it's embedded in us and how he wants to play and different principles of the game that I've never really learned, to be honest, throughout my career, to that level, you know, in which he instilled upon us. So it was really good to be in that environment, like I said before. But you know, at 35, I think I can bring qualities of a veteran leadership in regards to how I lead by example. And you know, at the end of the day, it was just a perfect mix of coaching and of things I bring to the table to make me a better player and just help me learn and you know, further my career.
Rico, is there a small example you can give of the positional thing that you were talking about with Greg Berhalter and how maybe that changed? Is there an example you can give the listeners?
Yes. I mean, I could name a couple of things. But, you know, there's just little details. Like I said, he's a very detailed guy. One thing he stressed to me in his tactics and his system is spacing with other players. You know, a lot of the times in games and in the different systems you play in, you know, everybody wants to kind of rush to the ball to try to get the ball. But his system thrived in players actually keeping their space and playing within their position. That was just one thing. Another thing was always looking to play forward, always looking to break lines. You know, he would formulate practices to get that out of his players. And he would formulate drills to get that out of individual players, especially within the midfield and the defense. And just little things like that, with being very detail-oriented, he was able to get a lot out of me, and I was able to learn so much.
So that does it tonight for Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Before we go, I want to remind you again, Saturday morning, 9 o'clock, we'll be down at the King's Court in Edo. Get down there, 903 Hutchins in the shadows of BBVA Compass Stadium. We're going to be watching the Manchester United game with the Houston Red Army, and then it's on to the Bayou City Blues, the Chelsea supporters group. We're going to have Soccer Matters t-shirts down there and bracelets. Come on down. A percentage of the sales will go to the 501c charity, the Curing Children's Cancer Fund. We've got gray, we've got blue, and we've got them in sizes for both men and ladies. Really cool bracelets with steel and differing types of beads and things. So come on down, King's Court, this Saturday. We'll be there at 9 a.m. Looking forward to seeing all the great soccer fans of Houston. A big thank you tonight to Michael Hernandez, producer, to Victor Ariza of Soccer Matters, and also Michael Carroll, who's helped us out over the last couple of weeks with a bunch of very important interviews, including the interview we did with Daryl Morey and Kiki Struna of the Houston Dynamo. So a big thank you to Michael for letting me bust in during the day and interview Kiki Struna over in Slovenia. That'll do it tonight. And there's Michael Carroll in the background. Remember, he used to be the producer. He was my first guy here until he got too big for everybody. So a big thanks to Michael as well, and all of you for listening in. Again, the podcast at podcastarena.com. Remember, soccer matters.